Episode 29. Now, basic first aid teaches us to look, listen, and feel. It's part of patient assessment. I like to use those three observation skills in the order of feeling, looking, and listening as part of my scene safety assessment when chaos abounds. Essentially lets me know when to walk in and when to scoot out. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We are sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos successfully and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Wincolor. Welcome to the show. Hooey, I have a great show for you this week, but before I really get started, I want to ask of you to tap into what I call the beginner's mindset. That's the moment, and that's the attitude where everything is new and fresh, as if we're seeing it for the first time. And that is such a valuable skill to have, especially if you are a crisis intervener or chaos is around. Because it's a routine that is dangerous. That's when accidents happen. Like when you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you say, whoa, what happened to the last 5 minutes? How did I even get here? It's that blank out. And that is dangerous. So if you could stay in the beginner's mindset and take the information that I'm going to be discussing on this show, it will open up doors and remind all of us that the mundane, the routine, is a wake-up call to pay attention. Let's do it. Let's roll right into the response protocol this week, and we begin with that first stage. And this is for a crisis intervention. It could be for any situation where you feel that there is a potentiality for a volatile situation, and there's a certain level of risk. It begins by asking, am I safe? And then we pause and exhale. Now that always feels really great, so I'm going to ask you to join in with me as I try that again. We inhale, breathe in, hold it, and now breathe out slowly. Wow, I could just feel my blood pressure go way down whenever I do that. And it slows me down. And that's a great first step for garnering your own self-control. And that in turn creates personal safety. If you want to learn more about that, you could go back to last week's episode, which is episode 28, and learn the keys for making yourself safe. But let's say that you are feeling safe and you're feeling as if you're not the target and you could further move into that scene at hand. But before you do, before you step fully into that scene, and mind you, this is all taking place within a matter of seconds, no pressure, the next question you ask is the scene safe? Well, how do we know if the scene is safe? Well, as I have been saying all along, I'm always looking to see what information do we already have at hand. And one of the things I know is about patient assessment as an EMT. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we use the tools of feel, look, and listen. This is part of basic scene safety assessment. Now to feel, let's begin right there because that's the first thing you do. And you might even feel that while you're checking in on yourself that, whoa, check it out. My hair on my arm is, you know, standing on edge. Or there's something, I always get this like itch at the back of my neck or something that tells me something's not right. That is your gut. That's your intuition. That is you at the best. That's your, geez, I think that's like your gene bank that's gotten you and your relatives this far along. It's called survival. And it's one of the key things that you never want to let go. I mean, when I was 21 years old, starting out in this field, that was some of the best advice anybody ever gave me. And if you're a mentor to somebody, I really want to encourage you to let folks know, listen to your gut. Another way I kind of look at it is I call it, well, you know, I live out in the country, so I call it country sensibility. I mean, you just got to, it's a little bit of common sense, but it's having a sense that you got to be aware of your surroundings. So you have to feel that something is not right. And you have this, I know you have this. You've experienced it when there's a storm, if there's a lightning storm or a thunderstorm. Some of us get like little low-grade headaches because of the high-pressure system. Or conversely, a low pressure system. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not a weather person, high pressure, low pressure. But there's something that happens to my head when the storm is coming. I could sense it. And like I mentioned, the hairs on your arm or your back could start raising. That's a gut feeling. And how many times have you had that? Probably a whole bunch of times. I have. You know, I was a lifeguard years ago on the Housatonic River in Connecticut. And I had this one day where no sooner had I just finished cleaning up after rescuing somebody. And on a river, it could be a pretty intense rescue because a person is going underwater and they're being pulled downstream. But I grew up on that river and I felt, well, I feel a kindred spirit to it. So I went back to the ranger shack and got dressed and kind of was on dry clothes. And I went right back out to my lifeguard stand. And I just happened to see this girl out there. And, you know, I didn't have to guess twice that she was in distress. My gut told me, even before I saw her face, it's as if I saw her reaction before she even emoted it. And I don't know that, you know, I guess that's maybe why I do the work I do. But that was a feeling I had, and nobody saw it. And I was, boom, in the water and out before you could have said, you know, cricket. That's how it works. And some of us are more hypersensitive than others, but the truth is we could all build that. So I come into any situation, I ask, is it safe? And I feel, I listen to my gut. Now, after I've used the skill of my intuition and gut feeling, I'm next going to be, or at the same time, I should say, looking at the scene at hand, taking in the whole scene and making an assessment. What exactly do you look for? Well, you look for someone or something that seems out of place. But to get a little bit more specific, I look at the physical stance of a person. What is that radiating to me? And what are they projecting? Are their arms crossed is the basic? Are their feet in a stance that's kind of like a power stance, almost like shoulder width apart? I mean, the extreme end would be like a T stance, like ready to fight, of course. Are their fingers curled in? Are their fingers out? Those real subtle ways that a person holds their hand actually tells me quite a bit because our tension pours out of our hand. We might be able to be thinking with our face and controlling our facial expressions, but the hands reveal so much. And then I look for the person's center, and that means, you know, what does their posture look like? Are they leaning forward or are they leaning back? Now, if I see two people leaning in towards each other, I want to make a good assessment. Are they leaning in because they're trying to talk to each other? Or are they leaning in because they're at a ready stance to fight? At the same time, I'm also looking at folks who are pulling away and separating from others. That could tell you that, one, they might be anxious, maybe a little scared, or they might have been the target of someone's bullying. So dependent upon your circumstance, if you are a teacher, you're going to be looking for very specific classroom signals from your students. Versus if you're a TSA security guard, you know, at an airport, you're going to be looking for very specific signals of that person's body and posturing. If you really develop those skills, it's something that you can kind of scan across without necessarily profiling a person. I don't want to get too deep into that, but I do believe that we could avoid that if we actually look and sense a person's center more than their ethnicity. I mean, it's a valuable skill to have, don't you? Because profiling doesn't necessarily get us too far sometimes, except make, you know, people a little upset and angry. So you want to be noticing the physical movements of a person and seeing what that reveals. And look at the whole picture, not just the face, but look at how they're carrying their body. Now, a funny thing happened to me. One day, I was going through the airport, and I had just hurt my back. And so because of that, I was like kind of concerned because I had a suitcase full of books and papers to bring to a training. And I wasn't feeling great. And because of that, actually, I got pulled over and got really like double, you know, checked, I guess, whatever they call that. And that didn't make me too happy. And really, I was just not feeling good. And I think that sometimes we lose those steps along the way because instead of trying to connect to people, we disconnect to people. And this skill of the observation skills of feeling, looking, and listening are about connecting with others and seeing where the humanity is and sometimes where the humanity stops. So, you know, at the same time, you could just ask a person too, but, you know, are you having a good day or a bad day? And if somebody asked me, I would have said, you know, I just hurt my back and I'm in a lot of pain. Oh, so goes life. So let's move on to the next step, which is listening. The skill of listening is really important because it defines for us what is in the tone, what is being said, and how it is being conveyed. What is the message? You know, if I see a group of people playing a card game, is it a card game where there's a lot of laughter and playing, or is this a card game where people are taunting others and making fun of somebody? So sometimes we lose so much around the edges when we should really be listening to the real particulars, how something is being said. Communication gets so misconstrued so quickly. I mean, you could be listening to me right now and interpreting it totally different from how I mean it. And that would be a travesty because that's not my intention. We all want to be able to communicate well, but it takes skill. And if you are an intervener, as I am, you want to make sure that you hone the skills of listening so you can really hear a person when they're feeling disconnected. So we are listening to what is being said. And that's how you kind of sum it all up. You feel, you look, and listen. And that tells you whether you should stay or whether you should go, right? That's the scene safety. That's how it begins. And I really encourage you to share that with others because a lot of folks think they know that, but especially folks who have been working in a job that becomes routine after a while, it's really easy at that point to start overlooking when things become mundane. That's when accidents happen. And we have to be sometimes rather vigilant with ourselves so we don't overlook what we call warning indicators. The truth is that if there's a conflict, the scene isn't safe. And conflicts can be really obvious, like shouting and yelling, or people separating. Or a conflict can be really, really subtle, like you don't know what's going on. And folks who do the work where they're going in and managing a domestic violence, it could be child abuse, or a bullying situation, you might not see the real obvious indicators that those scenes aren't safe. And that's why it's so very important that you are taking the time to hone those skills. So please do share this with those who don't often think about it, or who do but can use a reminder. Because sometimes a simple reminder to pay attention and continue with scene assessment, it could save a person's life. It doesn't take too much to do a simple reminder. Now, I'd like to just make a reminder for you that you could follow this podcast at Leading Chaos. That is our Twitter feed. We also have a Facebook page, and that is the Leading Chaos podcast, and it just does its little updates, and would love to hear from you there. Please always feel free to send me an email to Rhea, that's R-I-A, at leadingchaospodcast.com. And if you do listen to this on iTunes, I would be ever so happy if you could leave a review and rating. It makes a really big difference to get the word out there. And of course, it's all about sharing techniques to creating peace and safety for all. So that, boy, that's like a win-win. You get to help out this podcast if you feel it's of value, and you get to help out others who you might not know around the world who might not even hear about this podcast if we don't get some more vocalization out there into the world. Meanwhile, I will be moving on next week to how to make a scene safe. This week we made the assessment, and next week will be let's make that scene safe. And there's going to be a ton of stuff with that, and I get to share with you some really fun real life stories with me. Meanwhile, till then, I hope the week ahead is filled with ease and good fortune. This is Rhea Wincoller signing off for now. Be kind, be safe, and feel, look, and listen. Ciao for now.